are following closely the news out of the impeachment hearings today. This is the last day of testimony this week. And we wanted to take this opportunity to step back and take a deeper look at the legal arguments for the impeachment of President Donald Trump. We have with us Barbara McQuaid, a former U.S. attorney appointed by President Obama. She's now professor at the University of Michigan Law School. And Barbara, let's start with a refresher on the language of the Constitution, which says that a president can be impeached for, quote, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Based on what you've heard, I'm really curious to know from you, do you expect articles of impeachment to be drawn up?
I do. I think whether that results in removal is a different question, but I think based on what we have seen and based on the opening and closing comments of Adam Schiff, who's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, it appears to me that a very clear case can be made for articles of impeachment. I would imagine that they would include bribery, obstruction of justice, and abuse of power.
Yeah. Republicans have said that the aid Ukraine was seeking was eventually delivered, so there was no bribery. Do they have a point? Does attempted bribery carry the same weight as actual bribery?
It's such a great question because actual bribery is complete upon the demand. And so bribery occurred. It isn't even attempted bribery, regardless of whether the aid was released or the investigations announced. Bribery is defined as demanding a thing of value in exchange for the performance of an official act. The actus reus, so to speak, the bad act of the crime, is the demand. And so when President Trump made his demand, the bribery crime was completed at that moment. And there is harm that occurs then. Even though these things went through, people are saying no harm, no foul. The harm occurs upon the demand because the foreign aid that was deemed to be in our national interest was delayed, and it also harmed the reputation of the United States among its allies around the world. We want to be seen as a country that keeps its promises and that is committed to an anti-corruption agenda and that has integrity. And by making that demand, President Trump committed bribery and damaged the United States around the world.
Can we go back to the term that we were using before, bribery, quid pro quo? What about the argument that, hey, a quid pro quo did indeed happen, but as acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney actually said, that that's not an impeachable defense?
So quid pro quo is an element of bribery. It just means this for that. And so it is part of a bribery. So in this instance, the demand for the investigations in exchange for the performance of the official act, releasing the aid and granting a White House visit. What Mick Mulvaney has said, which I believe is going to be ultimately the Republican defense as the facts continue to come out and it becomes impossible to deny that there was a quid pro quo, is to instead embrace the facts and say, but that's not enough for impeachment. I think where his argument falls apart, though, is, he wants to portray it as this is politics as usual. This is how countries negotiate with one another. And what we've heard from many people is that, no, it is not. This was not withholding aid to get something for the benefit of the United States as a country, as Joe Biden has done and was pointed out that he wanted to make sure that there were certain anti-corruption measures taken before we would agree to certain things, including the firing of the former public prosecutor. Instead, what this is President Trump demanding things that would help his own personal political interests. As we heard this morning from Fiona Hill, this theory that Ukraine was somehow involved in interfering with the 2016 election is a lie, it's propaganda, and it's being perpetrated by Russia. And so not only was there no benefit to the United States in President Trump's conduct, there was serious harm.
Let's talk a little bit about some more of that testimony. You talked about Fiona Hill's testimony today. Yesterday, U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, said numerous times that, yes, there was a quid pro quo. But he also said that the president hadn't directly told him to the condition to the aid on investigation. Sondland took direction instead from Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer. Here's what the Republican counsel, Steve Castor, had to say about that.
You testified that Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the president, correct?
That's our understanding, yes.
But how did you know that? Who told you?
Well, when the president says, talk to my personal attorney, and then Mr. Giuliani, as his personal attorney, makes certain requests or demands, we assume it's coming from the president. I'm not testifying that I heard the president tell Mr. Giuliani to tell us. So if that's your question.
Barbara, does this hurt the Democrats' case? I mean, that Sondland and other witnesses weren't directly told by the president to condition the aid or the White House meeting the investigations on the Bidens?
Certainly it would be a stronger case if he could testify that President Trump told me directly that there was this direct link, or if it had been on videotape with President Trump saying this. But no cases are perfect. When I was prosecuting cases, we certainly prosecuted cases on far less evidence than this and were successful in obtaining guilty verdicts by a jury. The question in a jury case, in a criminal case, is guilt beyond a reasonable doubt? I don't know what the standard will be here. It's whatever the Senate decides it is. But all reasonable doubt does not mean all possible doubt. Is it possible that space aliens were responsible for this theory as well? Well, maybe. Yeah. But what does your reason and common sense tell you? And a jury is instructed you may draw reasonable inferences based on the totality of the circumstances. And what do we have here? We have President, not only what Gordon Sondland told us, but what President Trump himself said in that July 25th call. When President Zelensky asked about military aid, President Trump's first response was, "I need you to do me a favor, though." And then he launched into his request for investigations into the 2016 election and Biden. I think based on that, the text messages, what Rudy Giuliani was saying privately and publicly, it is well beyond proof, beyond a reasonable doubt, that these two things were linked. And it was President Trump's wish that he used the military aid and the White House visit as leverage to obtain these investigations.
Okay, I want to ask you about another potential article of impeachment that Intelligence Chair Democrat Adam Schiff brought up yesterday. Let's listen.
We can see why Secretary Pompeo and President Trump have made such a concerted and across-the-board effort to obstruct this investigation and this impeachment inquiry. And I will just say this, they do so at their own peril. I remind the president that Article 3 of the impeachment articles drafted against President Nixon was his refusal to obey the subpoenas of Congress.
Okay, do the Democrats have a strong case for obstruction of justice?
I think they do. I think they have a very strong case for obstruction of justice. President Trump early on said something to the effect of, "I'm going to fight all the subpoenas." A president has a right to invoke executive privilege in certain circumstances, and I think even has a duty to do that to protect the institution and the office of the presidency. But when you invoke it as to everything, in basically crying wolf, you are damaging that executive privilege for all presidents who will come after. In this instance, by not permitting John Bolton and Michael Pompeo and others to come testify, they are preventing Congress from exercising its constitutional oversight. And as we all know, the Constitution is designed to create a government of checks and balances. And President Trump is trying to thwart the efforts of Congress to serve as an effective check here. And
question for you there. I have a question for you there. I mean, is there any legal process which can open up the ability for us to hear from Bolton, for instance?
There is. And right now, I think they're putting their eggs in the Don McGahn basket. Don McGahn is someone who also defied a subpoena to testify before Congress. A lawsuit was filed to enforce that subpoena in court. And after the hearing that went quite well for the Democrats, they withdrew some of the other subpoenas. My speculation is that they're waiting to get a ruling from that particular judge in hopes for a favorable outcome, rather than litigating each and every one of these witnesses in front of a dozen different judges and perhaps getting different results. Getting this one result. Now, the problem here is it is likely that President Trump would appeal to the Second Circuit Court of D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and then appeal that to the Supreme Court. And they're racing the clock a little bit here with the election looming in November. Delays of months probably isn't going to cut it in this scenario. So it may be that President Trump's stall tactic works in some regard. But I think when Adam Schiff said you do so at your own peril, I think the risk is that when you don't want people to know the facts, it suggests it's because you're afraid of the facts. In the law, we refer to that as consciousness of guilt. I am concealing the truth because I believe that revelation of the truth will be damning.
With a few minutes that I have with you, I want to ask you about witness intimidation. President Trump criticized U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, very quickly. I mean, could this also be a factor in the articles of impeachment?
I think it could. My guess is it wouldn't be a standalone, but it could be part of the article for obstruction of justice. Witness tampering and witness intimidation falls under the umbrella of obstruction of justice because the purpose is to intimidate people from telling the truth by facing these repercussions and consequences and threats. And Maria Yovanovitch herself said that she felt intimidating. Yeah. And there's also the potential to intimidate other witnesses who are on the witness list who have not yet appeared to testify. The reason I would include it in the articles of impeachment is the importance of deterrence. We want to send a message that this is not okay from our president.
Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. attorney and professor at the University of Michigan Law School, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.